Joining me here on the morning ride in Gig Harbor, you have a Gig Harbor-based Heritage Distilling. It's going to end up closing tasting rooms across Washington and Oregon here at the end of the year. Joining me on the morning ride is the Heritage Distilling CEO and chair, Justin Stiefel. Justin, thank you for coming on to talk to me this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I am bummed to hear about this decision. I've heard a little bit about Heritage Distilling, and the things that I hear, everyone seems to really enjoy and really appreciate the whiskey, bourbon, vodka that you're making at Heritage Distilling. But you and it's your wife that are co-owners kind of running the company?
Well, we're part of the leadership team, but we're publicly traded now.
Oh, it's not publicly traded?
We have a number of different constituents.
Your wife is president. You're the CEO chair. You've had to make a tough decision about closing down tasting rooms. And this is in part, you say, because of the business climate here in the state?
Well, that's a big part of it. When you run a business, the most important thing you want is clarity and the ability to do forecasting. Several of our leases are coming due to be renewed next year, and commercial leases, they want you to sign guarantees and sign 3 to 5 to 7 year extensions. And as we look at what has already been done here recently, you know, what we know is coming in the pipeline, what's being discussed for more taxation regulation, and couple that with some of the changing consumer behaviors in alcohol and just the consumers pinching their wallets, you know, the responsible thing for us to do is to make this move and try to do it with as much clarity and transparency, both for the customers who've become part of our family, but also our employees that complain.
So the tasting rooms that you're talking about are in Roslyn over in central Washington, Tumwater.
Yep.
There's one in Gig Harbor, correct? That's your flagship.
Yep. And then two in Eugene, Oregon.
And a couple in Oregon. But then you've got tasting rooms that are part of tribal nations.
We started
are going to stay open, correct?
Yeah, we started a program over the last couple of years. We call it Tribal Beverage Network, where we partner with tribes and we license our tasting concept to them, and to put in their casinos. There's a lot of foot traffic, and the tribes, the tribal nations, don't have the same taxation issues and regulatory issues that we face as private companies.
Now, Justin, off the air, you mentioned to me that the tax percentage rate on liquor in the state of Washington is something like 23-something percent.
It's about 23.5% at the cash register for the consumer. Yeah, so that's why you have a lot of people who go to California to buy their spirits and drive them up, or they will cross the border into Oregon, or they go to Idaho.
I'm guilty of doing that on a road trip to Idaho and stopping off in Post Falls and grabbing a couple of bottles because I know it's going to cost less there. That's for sure.
At the state line store, that's a consumer-driven tax. The consumer pays that, right? But when you look at the other taxes, the legislature's decision to increase property taxes or to allow the cap to go up by from 1 to 3% a year, which will compound, whether you own land for your business or you lease from a landlord, those taxes will get passed on to you, especially us as tenants, because we don't own our spaces. So we could foresee the cost of leasing going up pretty substantially. The capital gains tax increase now to 9.9% in Washington. When you add that on top of the 15% capital gains tax, you now are looking at a 25% collective capital gains tax on investment simply by doing business here in Washington. There was a proposal to put a 5% surcharge on wages just because you employ people. And while that was stalled this year, I have no doubt that that'll try to be resurrected next year. And, you know, on top of the wages and then the carrying costs for employees, the idea of having to pay an extra 5% of the total wages is untenable.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly here in Tacoma, across the bridge in South Puget Sound, there was an effort to get the minimum wage increased over $20 an hour. Well, that was stalled this year. I do believe they're going to have the votes next year to get that done. So, you know, you start to look at 20 to 22 to 23 bucks an hour plus benefits. It all starts to add up pretty quickly. And at the end of the day, well, and the fuel taxes too, you know, we now have the highest or the second highest fuel taxes in the country for no reason at all. When I drive to Idaho, it's anywhere from 65 to 85 cents per gallon cheaper just by crossing the border. And every time we order something to be delivered or we take it to one of our locations, you know, those things start to add up pretty quickly.
Justin Stiefel, he's the chair CEO of Heritage Distilling, and the business impacts for the business climate here in the state of Washington, something we talk about regularly on the Morning Ride, the costs that are imposed by lawmakers in the Olympia legislature. As an example, Justin kind of mentioned that the city-county level can also apply to this. These are costs that the business operation has to incur, and sooner or later, those costs get passed along to the consumers. You've got these tasting rooms that are going to close down, a couple here in the state of Washington, a couple more in Oregon. And you previously had tasting rooms in two spots in Seattle, but you closed those previously. Was that a similar reason, kind of the cost of the business operation, or was there something else going on with that decision to close in Ballard and Capitol Hill?
The one in Capitol Hill was really sad because it was right at the it was at the border of the chop zone in 2020, and when that chaos happened and the city couldn't control what was going on, we had to shut that down overnight. I mean, it was like the Baltimore Ravens going in with trucks middle of the night to get all the assets out, because we couldn't guarantee the safety of employees. Employees did not show up to work because consumers were not going out. And because of all the craziness going on, we just could not reopen. Okay. Ballard, coming out of COVID, Ballard continued to see a deterioration regularly and throughout the entire neighborhood. And what was most frustrating with that location was we would get tagged with graffiti on the back of the building, and we would get these letters constantly from the city. You have graffiti in the back of the building. You have 30 days to clean it up or you're going to be fined. And when we would reach out and say, well, what about the people who are sleeping overnight in their front door entry and all the human waste and everything else? What are you doing to help with that? It was crickets. And we were accused of being heartless and not caring about people. And my response was, but you care about something that is a symbol in the back alley that is that's where your energy is going. That makes no sense at all. So when that lease was coming up for renewal, we just couldn't justify renewing that at all.
Yeah, or the homelessness, drug-addicted homelessness, public safety stuff where you just let people intoxicate them on the streets is really not helping those people either if they're going to make the complaint about you, complaining about what they're allowed to do. So let's bring it back to 2025 now. The decision that you've had to make to close these tasting rooms, 52 employees that are going to end up losing paychecks and jobs because of this?
It's tasting rooms and production. So production is also going to end up moving out of state as well. Yeah. And what we tried to do is we've tried to do this in the most transparent way possible. We are offering severance packages to those who stay through the end of the year. We're also paying sick time out. Washington state law does not require you to pay accrued sick time, but we're going to do that for those who stay with us.
I applaud you for doing that. My wife and I have faced situations where we were probably not going to get that was accrued, and being able to receive that when you worked for it and you accrued it, that is incredibly beneficial.
And we're paying out, obviously, their accrued vacation time as well. You know, the reason we're doing that is I don't want people calling out from work because they feel they have to use it or lose it. And we want to create a somewhat celebratory environment because we do want to celebrate the fact we've been in business for 13 years. Very hard to do in a highly regulated state. We had a good long run with the consumers. We're not going anywhere making spirits. We're going to continue to make spirits and do it wholesale and direct to consumer and partner with our travel partners. But what we wanted to do was invite our customers in, have them have, you know, a couple last rounds, come talk to the staff that they became very close with and developed the relationships with, and let us do this in an orderly and transparent way. And by doing this announcement now, we are guaranteeing our employees at least 3 to 5 months worth of income between the final months they're working plus the severance packages we're offering them. And there aren't a lot of small businesses that are wanting to do that or in the position to do that. And the reason we're doing that is because I always find it upsetting and rude when a company closes their doors overnight and puts a sign on the door so that the customers, the employees, find out the next morning that they're closed and they've lost their jobs and they've lost that consumer outreach. I think companies can do better. And, you know, we're trying to do the best we can in a bad situation or a tough call. And the response from the employees, while they're sad, has been very positive. The response from the community has been overwhelmingly positive. And we just want to continue to thank folks who had faith in us. And, you know, we're part of the journey along the way.
Well, Justin, this is one of the big questions that I'm guessing you've attempted to do this. But I need to ask this question. You've tried to point out that the state of Washington is one of the most expensive states for a business to try and operate in. Your business is now kind of seeing the implications of these high costs of operation, the regulation, the taxes, all the requirements that are put upon businesses. I'm guessing you've tried to reach out to, you know, lawmakers in the Olympia legislature or potentially Pierce County, where Gig Harbor is your home base, and tried to reach out to officials in Pierce County as well and say, hey, look, this is making it difficult for us to continue to do business. What are you getting in response? Are you getting any response when you try and point out the problems that all these business regulations are making it tougher for businesses to stay open and stay operating and keeping people employed?
Anyone who's tracked our journey at Heritage knows, and anybody who's in the industry knows, that we've actually been one of the leaders in lobbying in Olympia, just given my legislative background and my legal background. And so I have regular interactions with the lawmakers. I'm asked to testify on a regular basis. I've been doing that for the last 12 years, 13 years. We know a lot of legislature individuals by name, and you know, people expect us to be part of that conversation. Certainly we're involved at the local level and the county level and the city level. And when we met with the city mayor this week to tell her this news, you know, I learned that the state is actually talking about going in and now stripping away from the cities and localities and counties part of their sales tax, and also stripping away part of the cities and localities fees that they collect to run basic services in the cities to try to balance the state budget. And that is just totally insane to me, that the state cannot get their fiscal house in order such that they have to go start stealing it from the cities and counties. That should cause alarm bells for everybody, because as local property taxpayers and fee payers for city services, to now have that money just vanish should set off alarm bells for everybody. So we've been active. We talk about these things. We try to be rational about it and non-emotional and non-accusatory, and just say, you have to look at the math and you have to look at the policy, and good policy should drive the decision-making and vice versa. But, you know, when you're faced with a supermajority, you end up with a steaming railroad and bad ideas rise to the top, and there's nothing you could do to stop it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, voters don't seem to understand a lot of these economic impacts of just constantly heaping another regulatory burden or a tax on a business and thinking that everything will be puppy dogs and ice cream. And until I think voters start to realize some of that direct cause and effect, we're going to unfortunately get a lot of the same elected officials down in the Olympia legislature that have caused these problems that are now leading to businesses like yours, Heritage Distilling, that are having to cut back just because the cost of operating a business is so substantial in this state. It's not sustainable.
We are one of the most expensive states to operate in now. It's California, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Washington, Oregon. Oregon's lost almost 15% of their manufacturing jobs in the last year. We're members of the Washington Hospitality Association, and they predict that Washington's going to see 11% of the hospitality businesses closed in the next 12 months or so. I'm on the board for AWB, Association of Washington Business, which is the state's Chamber of Commerce, and they're very concerned about what's going on, and I've talked to them about what we're doing and why, and they totally understand. They get it. You know, they're down there preaching about these things. So it's frustrating to watch, especially because my wife and I were both born in this state. Our kids in this community, our kids have gone through the public school system, two have graduated, one's about ready to graduate. We have been recognized by the Secretary of State as the Business of the Year for Community Service. We actually won Manufacturer of the Year 1 year in the state of Washington. So it's not like we haven't been thoughtful, deliberative, and being good partners with the community. And the community suffers when small businesses end up having to make these choices. And the thing I fear is that the policy direction that Washington is going down, you're going to continue to see this hollowing out of the smaller and medium-sized businesses, because there's this focus on massive fintech and technology stuff, which is easy to grow at scale, or is easier to tax at scale. But those big companies then also have the ability to start moving and shifting. And in the U.S., constitutionally, we have the right and the freedom of mobility. You know, it's not like if you're trying to leave the U.S. to go set up shop or to become a citizen of another country, that's very hard to do. But if you are in a state where it's hard to operate, you have 49 other states to choose from, and nobody can stop you. And I think that, you know, you're seeing that, especially California companies moving to Texas and moving to Florida, you know, people have to make choices based on what the dollars and the numbers tell you.
Yeah. Justin Stiefel, he's the chair, CEO of Heritage Distilling, based in Gig Harbor. They've decided they have to close down tasting rooms. It's a result of the business climate here in the state of Washington that emanates from the decisions by the Democrat majority in the Washington state legislature. Justin, I hear the frustration in your voice. I wish it didn't have to turn out this way. I applaud you for using that phrase. You want to be rational, not emotional, because unfortunately, when it comes to how the Democrats in the Olympia legislature deal with the business community, it's just the opposite for them. They're emotional. They're not rational. So, Justin, I'm going to head out and pick up a bottle of some Heritage Distilling bourbon this weekend. It won't be much, but it's a start.
Thank you. And right. I hope folks come celebrate with us.
Yep, exactly. Something to keep in mind, locally owned Gig Harbor, publicly traded. That's Heritage Distilling, Justin Stiefel. Thank you for being with me here on The Morning Ride.